We're in the book of Ephesians, and we're going to spend a little bit of time in this particular scripture passage for the next couple of weeks as we talk about the armor of God. And this morning we're talking about the breastplate of righteousness. One of the misconceptions I think we have is the life that we're living. It's not just easy and so-so, but we are in a spiritual war. We are in war. And we don't realize that we're fighting a war every day of our life. All of the forces of evil have been sent out against us. And they're there to stop us from doing and being and seeing Jesus Christ for all that He is, for doing His will and taking our vision off of our heavenly home. We are in a war for our very soul. But Jesus did not leave this world and leave us unequipped. But He placed within our range, within our grip, our armor. That we might use, that we might overcome everything the devil throws at us. It's called the armor of God. Last time we talked about this was a few Sundays before Easter, and we talked about the belt of truth. And this is the first requirement in this for spiritual battle and for fighting in this war. And this belt is the undergird of all that holds everything else in place. That truth, that sincerity. If we don't have that within our hearts, we haven't started out where we need to be. You know, it's that sincerity that we want to be, that we want to do exactly what Jesus Christ has set out for us to do. And now we're ready to put on the next piece of armor, and that is that breastplate of righteousness. So what is the breastplate of righteousness? Well, you know, the Roman soldiers wore a bronze plate over their chest. The inside was lined with leather. And this was, you know, over his upper torso, his upper body, and it went from approximately his neck down to just below his navel. And it was therefore a protection. And it was heavy, it was thick, and it would withstand the pounding of swords, it would withstand the plunge of a spear, it would withstand the piercing of an arrow. And it was there to protect the heart, the vital organs. It was there to protect him so that he was not wounded in the upper part of the body, because if there was a wound received there, it was most likely a deadly wound. And so he wore this. They put this on every time he went into battle. He did not leave the breastplate off. Okay, that's the breastplate. But what about this righteousness? Righteousness is moral and spiritual uprightness. Like that we see in the character of God. This is what we're talking about. When the Scripture speaks of righteousness in relation to the Christian, it speaks of it in general two ways. First, there is that imputed righteousness, and then there is that imparted righteousness. The word imputed just simply means given to. It is imputed to us. Righteousness is given to us. And over in Romans, the 4th chapter, Paul goes into a long dissertation about Abraham and how he was counted righteousness because of his faith. And it was imputed to him. It was given to him. But as Paul closes out that 4th chapter of Romans, he's talking about this righteousness of Abraham. He says to us in that verse 24 that this righteousness shall be imputed, that is given to us who believe in Him, that is in God, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Because God is holy, He cannot have anything unholy before Him. So He had to make us holy so we could come to Him. He loved us so much that He wanted us. And so His way of doing that was to decree that we could be holy because His Son, Jesus Christ, is holy. You see, we read there in Romans, the 3rd chapter and the 10th verse, that there is none righteous, no, not one. And we continue on down to that 23rd verse, and it tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are unrighteous people. And we cannot make ourselves righteous before God. You see, there we are. We're in a bad situation, aren't we? But you see, if you continue in Romans there, he tells us in Romans the 5th chapter and 8th verse, this marvelous truth, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He wanted to give us righteousness. He wanted to make us righteous so we could still come before Him, so we could still have fellowship with Him. Christ shed His blood to remove our sins, and His righteousness, His perfect obedience is given to us. It is imparted to us. It is imputed to us as a gift. When we are convicted of our sin, when we realize what a sinful individual we really are, and we repent of our sins and we are baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sin, we come up out of that watery grave of baptism, wrapped, as it were, in the robe of righteousness that belongs to Jesus Christ. When God looks at us, He doesn't see our sin. He sees Christ's righteousness. Why? Because God decreed it to be so. Because He loved us so much, He wanted us before Him. And that's not the end of it. You see? That's not all there is to it. This imputed righteousness just allows us to stand before God. It's the foundation for which imparted righteousness is built upon. You see, imparted righteousness is the righteousness we receive when we are obedient to Jesus Christ. We must let the righteousness of Christ be seen in our attitudes and in our actions. As we, you know, we sincerely desire to give place to Jesus Christ in our life, to strive to please Him, to give everything we are to Him. We live for Him. We sleep for Him, if you please. We desire that everything we are is Jesus Christ. It's then, through the Holy Spirit, we begin to have this imparted righteousness. You see, we feel, we think, we speak, we act like Jesus Christ. Paul tells us back in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 22 through 24, he says, put off concerning the former conduct, the old man, the old man according to the deceits of the lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according in the righteousness and holiness. We are created in Christ Jesus as righteous beings. There's no way we could do that. There's no way we could become that. There's no way that you and I can make ourselves righteous. It's because God decreed it so when we accept Jesus Christ. Paul tells us in Romans 6, reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive in God through Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you sin. In its lust, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness, sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive. Make yourselves instruments of God's righteousness. You see, we think, we feel, we speak like Jesus Christ. Be filled, as Paul says over in Philippians, the 1st chapter, to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. These are the things that come from Jesus Christ. These are the things that make us who we need to be. These are the things that teach us exactly who we are. We think, we feel, we speak like Jesus. And so we have that imputed righteousness that's given to us when we come to believe. And then we have that imparted righteousness that we have when we are in Jesus Christ and we're living every day for Him because we desire to do so. And the Holy Spirit works for us. So with that together, how does righteousness become this breastplate for us? So what is this breastplate of righteousness? If Satan wants to conquer us, he's got to get into our mind. He's got to get into our heart, and he has to control it. You see, in baptism, we are buried with Christ. That is, you know, the old self is put to death, and it is buried in that watery grave, so to speak. And in those waters of baptism, we are renewed, we are made over in Jesus Christ, and we raise out of that watery grave a new person in Christ. Paul tells us there in Romans 6, verse 3 through 7, says, "Do you not know as many as were baptized into Christ, Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin." For Satan to conquer us, he must resurrect that old man. He must resurrect the old self and cause it to dominate the new self. And he must tempt us to think. He must tempt us to think and feel and act unrighteously. You see, righteousness can guard us and protect our heart against Satan's attacks. So how does this righteousness apply to this breastplate against Satan's attacks? You know, Satan will tempt us at times to be proud of ourselves. You know, Satan wants to think that we have a certain amount of self-righteousness ourselves. That we do things pretty good, you know. I'm all right. You know, I've done things so good that God accepts me just as I am. Satan wants us to believe that, you know, you're pretty good. And he wants us to think that our efforts and our works have caused God to accept us. You know, this is the old Phariseeism that Christ condemned in the New Testament. But when we realize this, you know, we realize that we must rely entirely upon Jesus Christ, His righteousness that's been given to us, that we are just nothing but filthy rags without it, that we are worthless without what Christ has done for us. This will protect us. This righteousness protects us from the sin of selfishness. You know, how can we be proud of ourselves when what we are and who we are, it's all because of what Jesus Christ has done, not of ourselves? The breastplate of righteousness protects us from destruction of self-righteousness. Well, you know, there are times that Satan just turns that card around the other direction. He flips it over and he says, you know, you don't measure up. There's no way you can be all that Jesus wants you to be. You know, you thought you were pretty good, but you realized you weren't so good after all. But you'll never be any good. How many of us have thought that from time to time? Man, I'm just absolute worthless. God couldn't do a thing with me. Well, Satan wants to tap into that idea, and he wants to keep it going. He wants you to believe that there is absolutely nothing you can do, and you just stumble and sin, and you know, when you do something, or you remember some past failure, Satan is just quick to condemn. He says, "Do you really think God would accept someone who acts like you do? God is holy, and you're anything but holy. God is pure, and look at you, you're rotten to the core. Just look at the sort of person you are. Look at the things you do. You might as well just forget about God accepting you." And many Christians fall victim to Satan's attack, and they don't know how to repel it. Their heart is not protected by the knowledge of the righteousness they received from Jesus Christ. They're not holding on to that righteousness that God has given them when they come to Jesus. And they're not building that righteousness, if you please, that by their life, living it out every day. When we have on the breastplate of righteousness, we can say to Satan, "Yeah, Satan, you're right. I'm not perfect. Satan, I don't do many things right, but I belong to Jesus Christ. I belong to the one who has covered me with His blood. I belong to the one who gives me His righteousness. He's the one that gives me standing before God." Oh, we can plead Jesus Christ, and Satan has to flee. Paul says there in Romans 8, "There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." You see, he hadn't got a thing on us, does he? Not a thing. In Romans 8, in verse 31 and 34, he writes, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." You see, Satan doesn't have a thing on us when we have Jesus Christ and His righteousness. But it doesn't just stop there. You know, with that imputed righteousness, God requires that we have a heart that's ready for obedience. You know, just coming to the baptistry, being baptized into Christ is just the first step. When we come out of that baptistry, there is living every day, and there's that desire to be all that God wants us to be every day of our life. It's called obedience. But you see, our hearts are not naturally inclined to obedience. Our hearts are inclined to disobedience and inclined to sin. Over in Mark, the 7th chapter, in verses 20 through 23, Jesus said, What comes out of a man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All of these things come from within and defile a man. And you see, alone, we cannot make ourselves completely obedient to God, but we can with God's help. We are given help through the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit. When we are baptized in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. Over in 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God?" So you see, He lives and dwells within us. The Holy Spirit is given to help us and direct us toward obedience. And this was prophesied. Prophesied back in the Old Testament. Ezekiel 36. Verses 26 through 27 tells us, "I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 16 and 17, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against truth. Those things which are contrary to one another, so that you do not do what you wish." Paul says in Romans 8, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors." We are debtors. For, you know, if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if you live according to the Spirit, you're going to live. Paul tells us not to quench the work of the Spirit within us. He is alive and working every day in every one of us, and we cannot turn Him off. When we do, we've lost the battle. You know, it all has to do with what we put in ourselves. You know, you take a treasure chest and you put dirt in a treasure chest. What are you going to get out of the treasure chest? Dirt. But if you take that treasure chest and you put gold in the treasure chest, what are you going to get out of the treasure chest? Gold. And it's the whole idea is that what we put into our heart is what we're going to get out of our heart. You see, Jesus said there in Luke 6:45, "A good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth good. An evil man out of the treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil." You see, it's out of the abundance of the heart that his mouth speaks. And so the writer of Proverbs says, "Keep your heart with all diligence." Oh, be careful about what you're putting in your life. Be careful what you read. Be careful what you see. Be careful where you go. Be careful what comes into your life. Do not allow anything to enter your heart that would destroy what Jesus Christ means. Over there in Romans, the 8th chapter, Paul says that righteousness, obedience is desired by us. You know, be filled in Him, be fulfilled in us to who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, be spiritually minded is life and peace, because of the carnal minded is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, for indeed cannot be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. What did the psalmist say? There in Psalm 119, "Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against God." Oh, you got to be so careful what you put in, because whatever you put in is what's going to come out. We must be so diligent that we might become the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You see, there's just no substitute, is there? Being like Jesus. None whatsoever. And Paul kind of sums it all up for us when he gives us a test list that we should go over in our minds and our life. Every day that you do something, this verse ought to tell you exactly how to live it. Philippians 4 and verse 8, it ought to be marked in your Bible. It ought to be marked in your mind. It ought to be seared in your heart. It says, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, report. If there is any virtue and if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You see, everything you hear, everything you read, everything you watch, everything you think about should fit these qualities. Do they? Do they? Well, the breastplate of righteousness. Do you have it on this morning so it can protect you from this world we're in? The devil's doing everything he possibly can to destroy you. And the only way we can have any hope is to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ applied to our life. And the only way that can happen is when we give ourselves to Jesus Christ in full surrender. We're baptized into Him for the forgiveness of sin. We raise out of that watery grave a new person in Christ. And then we are obedient to Him. This morning, have you made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Are you living daily for Him? Are you wearing the breastplate of righteousness? If not, won't you make it your decision to do so this morning as we stand and as we sing?